Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, for the second week in a row, we have people trying to test Jesus, trying to catch him in an answer that they might try to nail him for it. They didn't like him. He caused a disruption in their minds. But Jesus does not slip up. No, he is different than me. He is different than each of you because he is truly man, born of the Virgin Mary, but he is also truly God. He is God who has taken on human flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. He's not like us in that regard. And yet, he came to this earth for the purpose to take each and every one of our mistakes upon himself. The God-man, eternal in his godhood, begotten before all worlds, has always been, and he always shall be. And yet, at a specific point in time, he took on that flesh. The God-man who knew no sin became sin for us. For on that cross, all of those sins hung around his neck. The Father forsakes him, for the sin is too great. Again, Jesus had never done a single thing wrong, but for every time that we did, he was nailed to that tree. He bled, he suffered, and he died for us, for the lawyer who was trying to test him. He poses to him a question. He says, "Teacher, look, I'll even give you respect and call you a teacher. Oh, Rabbi, which is the great commandment in the law?" Now, we should, all of us, know the Ten Commandments by heart. Regardless of how long ago we had catechesis, confirmation classes and such, those words should still be in our heart. And there were a number of commandments on top of these 10 given in the Old Testament. But these 10 are still important for us today. They act as a curb, they show us our sin as a mirror, and they give us a rule or guide to show us how we are called to live. What is God's will for my life? If only I knew, and God gives you his commands. He says, "This is what I desire my children to try to do." And yet he also says, "And I know you're not going to be able to do it perfectly every single day. And that's why I sent my son to die in your place. But this is how I desire my children to live." Because he is a father who loves us. And a father who loves his children doesn't simply allow them to do whatever they want, whenever they want. He gives them rules. He gives the rules of the father in order to protect their children and to protect those around. And so we take the Ten Commandments. We know that we are to have no other gods. Every time we break any of the commandments, this commandment is broken as well. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The second commandment, do we take his name in vain? Do we use it like we hear it in movies or on the side of the street? Or do we call upon it, pray, praise, and give thanks that he has placed his name upon us? Do we remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy? The psalmist writes, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" See, God desires your fellowship with him each and every week. Not just when we feel like it. Not just like when we have nothing else going on that day. But each and every week. This first table of God's law shows us our relationship with him. Jesus responds to the question, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. You see, God doesn't want just part of you. He wants all of you. And he'll even take your sins that he can expel those sins away from you. The bondage of slavery to sin that you carry, he desires to sever and send away from you. Because he desires a fellowship with you. He desires to fill you with his body and blood to give you the forgiveness of sins. You shall have no other gods. You should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Worship him. Give all of yourself to him each and every day. Lord, I live my life not by my own desires, but I live my life for you. Jesus continues, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On the covers of your bulletin today, you will see two tablets hanging on a cross with 10 Hebrew words on them. These symbolize the 10 commandments. There are two tables. The first table I've already gone through, which shows us our relationship with God. The second table shows us our relationship with our neighbor. We fail God when we do not honor and give respect to our parents and other authorities. We fail to honor God when we murder or desire death or desire pain and hurt for another being. We profane God and his name when we do not walk according to our marital vows. When we take the marriage bed as something that God does not give at marriage and use and abuse it to our own whims prior to marriage. When we do not love and respect the spouse that has been given to us. When husbands fail to lead and wives fail to follow. When we take what doesn't belong to us. When we covet that which is not ours. That is, we are not content with what God has given us. We also profane God when we tell lies about our neighbor. When we gossip and we slander, instead of going to the person that you actually have an issue with, we gossip and we slander, thinking they won't hear it, thinking that it won't hurt them. But it does. And in those cases, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to go to that person, to talk through with that person whatever is on your mind. This is a family, and you should always be able to go to someone in your family to discuss whatever is bothering you. That's a relationship. That's what God desires. And we fail these things. We fail to love God with our whole heart and mind and body and soul. We fail to love our neighbors as ourselves. Even times we fail to love our neighbor that's closest to us. The one that's in your own home. Do we properly care for them? Do we devote our life and service to them? The time and talents that God has given you, do you use them to give glory to his name? If God has given you a voice, raise it up and sing his praises. If God has given you an ability to play an instrument that is usable in the divine service, use it. God has given you blessings. God has given you time and these talents to give back to him, not to hide them under a bushel, not to squander them, but to use them to his glory. Just a little over a week ago, so not Friday, but the Friday prior, we see what happens when people do not live for God and for their neighbor. Because on that Friday, the House of Representatives gathered once again, and this time proposed a bill, H.R. 3755. This bill would legalize abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. The entire time. Until viability, they say, for whatever reason. Say God has created in you a boy and you wanted a girl. Done. For whatever reason you want. And then for the rest of the time, all the way up to birth, for the life or the well-being of the mother. Life we can discuss, but well-being has a very broad application used by different physicians. This bill would also exclude the religious consciences of healthcare providers. This bill passed in the House. Think about the pure evil that it takes to pass something like this. This does not help women, and it certainly doesn't help the weak and the powerless among us. We must speak for those who have no voice. There is evil in this world, there is evil all around us, and we stand against it, firmly against it, proclaiming the truth that no matter what your sin might be, Jesus Christ has still died for it. Whether it's the sin that I just talked about, or whether it's the sin of not being content with what God has given you, or whether it's not worshiping every Sunday as you should, or giving honor and respect to those you should, or desiring a woman that is not your wife, God has died for your sins. Jesus Christ gave up his life for you and for them. So you live your life, not according to your own desires, but according to the will of God. And when you see someone who is so broken and battered by their sin, go to them and proclaim to them the mighty deeds that Jesus Christ has done for them, that we might gain a brother or a sister in Christ, that they may know that they're not trying to do this on their own, that there is hope, there is comfort, there is love and life. So do these things, dear children of God, and do them all to the glory of God. The church sings. With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. Ask ye who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.